Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Live Your Full Potential podcast. Today I have Charlie Johnson with me. Thanks so much for being here, dude.
Thank you. I really appreciate the invite. And you can't see this on the camera, but the view is pretty insane and incredibly inspiring. Yeah. I can see why you stay in the Address Hotel all the time.
Yeah, and this is where I'm going to be running their mastermind. So our mastermind over the next few days is called Wealth Mastery. So of course, I want people to feel wealth the minute they step in the room. And I'm grateful that you came here to do this podcast with me at a very, very short notice period.
No, I really appreciate it. And the opportunity in terms of you coming onto my podcast as well yesterday, yeah. And the wealth of knowledge and experience you have, it's the world is very lucky for people like you who give the right positive information, because I think there's a lot of people out there who really need that, and like one word or one saying can just change someone's mindset completely.
Well, first of all, thank you for the kind words, and it means a lot coming from you, because just coming into your world in the last, I don't know, what's it been, a couple of weeks?
Yeah.
Through Matt Haycock, shout out. I've just been inspired by what you do. Your relentlessness, your physique, your confidence, your 300 and something podcast episodes that you've put out. It's pleasure to know you now and call you a friend.
No, I appreciate it massively.
So for people that don't know, you are a fitness expert. I'm not going to say guru, because you're probably going to say, oh, I don't like that, because I'm learning you, I'm studying you and learning about you very fast. But you're 100% a real, legit fitness expert when it comes to muscle mass, muscle gain, building your physique, burning fat, and you're also a podcaster. Is there anything else that you say would define you today?
I think the other thing that a lot, I have almost have like two personalities, not personalities, but personas online now. So I've one's the fitness health side of me, and the other's the business side.
Oh, I forgot that. How can
we help
I forget
people
that?
In terms of like building their fitness businesses? And
yeah.
I'll explain that a little bit. So I originally come from, I was an estate agent until I was 26, 27, don't shoot me.
In the UK?
In the UK, yeah. And that's pretty soul destroying. And then I managed to escape the matrix with like the side hustle thing of my fitness business online, which is quite a long story which we could go into. But the reality of that is the way, like if you're really successful in business right now, you should be successful in fitness, because the same character traits cross over completely. So fitness is about being structured, being disciplined, having goals, thinking who, not how, like find the person who can help get the result. Business is exactly the same. So when you apply the mentality to either of them, you should be successful in both.
That's very interesting. And I love simplifying information, and you can't get more simple than that. Weirdly, I've never heard that before or even shared it myself. And in full transparency, it makes me think, why am I better? Or maybe that's not true. Maybe it's my thoughts around it, but I feel like I'm better in fitness than I am in business. Some people are really good at business and some people are really good at fitness. Or sorry, some people are good at business and not so good at fitness. Some people are good at fitness and not so good at business. Why do you think that is the case?
It's where they pay their attention to, what the values are. So for me, like the whole thing is I wanted to be physically bulletproof in terms of strength, strong, fit, athletic, have a presence when you walk into a room. And then I also wanted the brain behind that and the financial freedom to do whatever the fuck I want. I wanted to be able to do what I want, when I want, with who I want. And the reality is that's when you're almost like the complete package in terms of almost verging on the superhuman to some degrees. Like you've got it all. And people have a limiting belief that they can't have it all. And I remember someone saying to me years ago that you can't make $1 million a year and fucking be in great shape. You have to focus on one. I was like, why? It's like, I'm going to work out anyway, so I might as well just pay attention to my nutrition and actually have a structured plan with what I'm doing with my training and be structured with my food. And I can achieve success in that and that. And for me, fitness allows me to escape business when that's going bad or stressful. Because if you run a business right now, which I think a lot of people listening to this will do, that probably every 12 weeks there's some type of shitstorm where you've got some type of problem you've got to deal with. And there's no better way to change your mental state, in my opinion, than working out. Because like you go in and you're, I don't know, you're doing squats or whatever, like you don't think about you've got to pay your tax bill or whatever this is at the time, or whatever the issue is. And that's the reality in terms of you have to be multifaceted in life, because I think too many people are too dimensional, that they're superb at one thing, but if that one thing was taken away from them, they've got nothing. And if you can be more well-rounded and have higher values in other things, that then also makes you more relatable to other people.
You just, you gave the exact answer that I was hoping you were gonna give, which in short is your values. And we talk a lot about values. And actually, I try to be, not try to be, truth is one of my highest values. And a truth of mine is that I think I just realized something right now listening to you speak in the first few minutes. And it's that when I have fitness goals, sorry, when I have business goals, my goal is look after my clients to the best of my ability. And my clients will say, in terms of like performance, mental performance coaching, they'll say like, no one is as supportive or as good as or insightful as me. But that's my only goal. Whereas when I'm in fitness, it's train for a fight, train for an Ironman, train for four marathons. Without exaggeration, dude, I think I just hit the nail on the head. I don't set stretch goals in business. Like getting on stage, you know, like you have competed and doing bodybuilding competitions. Yeah. I don't set goals like that. Not enough in business. So thank you for that share.
I think we experienced by the end of the day, it's like for anyone who likes reading, Brian Tracy is my favorite author. He's got about 25, 30 books. And one of the things he says is that to be the top 1% of the people in the world, all you literally have to do is set goals. So one of the best habits I got into in the last 12 months is every week I'll sit down on Sunday morning first thing, and I'll plan out like what's my goal for the week, my three goals for the week personally and business wise. And then you spoke about this the other day, it's like trying to make small wins. That allows me to break a whole year worth of goals into like small little chapters that I can win and like knock off. And it's that expression that people focus too much probably trying to win the war rather than win each individual battle. Yeah. And the battles will accumulate so you eventually don't even realize when you've won the war.
And if you use the fitness analogy once again, it's just the next workout. You're not going to get to the physique that you want if you can't do the next workout.
Yeah, that's the key. Consistency.
Yeah. Speaking of consistency, clearly your consistency has got you somewhere. I heard you say off camera yesterday that you were talking about our stories and how we are connecting and how we have similarities, synchronicities. And you said, oh, and I was thinking about this and I had a 7-figure tax bill. I'm sure you said that.
Yeah.
Clearly you've had some massive success in your life. Do you want to talk to us a bit about your journey from fitness into business?
Yeah, so for me, I became a personal trainer when I was 18, and to be honest, I was shocking at it. I trained at the first gym group in Guildford in Surrey, which you know.
Yeah, that's right around the corner.
Yeah, so not far from Weybridge. From there, I went into the ski season randomly for 6 months. I'm also a qualified ski instructor, it's my other passion. Came back and I was like, I don't really want to do personal training anymore. I remember a friend of mine got a job as a estate agent. I was like, oh, that looks like they make loads of money. I was like, that's a good idea. Get to work in the whole property thing, right? So I went on Reed or something like that, searched estate agent, and it came up saying Walton on Thames. I was like, I presumed it was like Walton on the Hill, which was near where I lived in Epsom at the time. And I thought I'd just apply anyway. I found out where the actual job was, and it was in Walton on Thames, which was like an hour away by Weybridge. Yeah. I got the job and I was like, I'm just going to do this for 6 months. And I remember nearly quitting on the first day driving in because the commute was so long. I thought, I'll just do it. Long story short, I ended up being there for 6-7 years.
Yeah.
Became the manager after 2 years at like 22, which was retarded looking back at the timescale.
As in the main manager of
the whole
branch.
Thing. And I was always gifted in terms of business, but that's because of my psychology. Like you said the other day, psychology beats skills. I was always very driven and hungry. And that's something that's never really left me. And I just now, one thing really clicked with me, I think when I was about 25, 26, I got someone to coach me for fitness. And they got me in the best shape of my life. I did a photo shoot. And I was terrified doing the whole process. But something clicked in my head. And I was like, fuck, this is the secret. I was like, if you want to achieve anything, you just find someone else who knows how to do it. You pay them, they should do it. And that's why I said to you earlier about the who, not how, is... That's, and I'm going through that again in my businesses and stuff I'm trying to develop. I've just found someone to help me to the next level with where we're stuck. And even the last week, I've made more progress in the last 12 weeks than I did in like 5 days, because I found someone who knows the exact answers what I need. And that's the reality, is where everyone is right now is whatever you're stuck with is just trying to find the first person to like unlock that lock. For me though, what happened 26, 27, got in really good shape, saw what was happening on social media, and I was like, this is an opportunity. Do you know Grant Cardone, Gary Vee?
Dude, of course. I'm a massive student of Grant.
So When I was
Uncle
like,
G.
So 10x, I think. So I wrote down
10x goals yesterday in my journal.
So I was like religious. I remember driving around in my Mercedes on a stage and just listened to fucking Gary Vee all the time, Grant Cardone. I was like, wow. I was immersed with like, that's what I want to do. And I remember Gary Vee being like omnipresence, like you have to be everywhere at all times, be in front of people, just give value.
I think that
like,
was Grant, man.
Yeah, and
he just talked about omnipresence all the time.
So I was like, I'm just gonna do that then. So like, I started just documenting while I was doing fitness when I was an estate agent. The company I worked for at the time ended up getting bought out by a corporate company called the Leaders Roman Group, Romans Group. And what was very interesting about that was seeing the difference between a privately run company, really driven people, and a corporate company where they were like a bunch of old women who like respectfully know what the fuck they were doing.
And you became a cog in the machine.
Yeah, so I became a cog in the machine. I was like, what the fuck is this? I was like, I was almost like a racing analogy, like a thoroughbred horse being like held back. And I was like, this is fucking pointless. So I basically worked there for 2 years building like this fitness business. And I got to the point where I was probably making like 30 grand a month whilst in my full-time job doing like online fitness training. My boss didn't even know, shows how much they knew. And obviously I was all over social media and stuff like this. And it got to the point where I was obviously earning a lot more than from my side hustle than I was from my main job. And I was like, it's time to take the leap.
And you just 100% build that yourself?
Yeah, like no, I just sort of figured it out. Because back in 2017, 2016, there wasn't the people like me or other people to explain what to do or how to do these processes. And there's a video on my Instagram from 5 years ago. When you work in a state agency, this is quite a cool story. When you work in a state agency, they paid you 50% commission. So you hand your notice in, the last month you get paid half. So I'm not fucking doing that. So I was like, the day I got paid, walked in, just got my shit, and I was like, I'm leaving. And I was like, goodbye to everyone who I managed the office for at the time.
Clever.
And then I remember getting home, and I remember my boss calling me, the area manager. I can remember it like yesterday. And she's like, you can't just leave, you have to come back. And I was like, no, I don't. I'm done. I was like, you don't control me anymore. I can do whatever I want. I put the phone down. And I was like, I can do whatever I want now. I don't have to answer to anyone ever again. As long as I back myself, work really, really hard every day, I can do what I want when I want with who I want. So it's like, shit. From then, I just worked really, really hard and just you have trials and tribulations. And one of the funny stories, and we talk about this the other day a little bit in terms of like how things can come into your life. One of the defining moments for me when I worked in that previous job was I remember having like 9-10 grand in my PayPal and paying for a trip to Dubai where I didn't even want to go with my previous partner. I was like, why do I want to go to Dubai? It's a seat in the desert. Now, 5 years later, I've moved to Dubai and love it. And so that's a whole come about face in terms of how things work. But that's a short synopsis in that part of my career. And about 12 months ago, I've shifted into also then teaching other people how to build their business from the success we've had.
I love that you're doing that now. You've transitioned from being the student to being the teacher, but also clearly you are still an obsessive student. Over the next weekend, the event that I'm running, I'm actually, one of the things I'm touching on is if you want to have more wealth in your life, whatever that means for you, continue to be the student, continue to keep learning. And I love that you talked about learning from people. You talked about the who. You know, I don't think it's not a coincidence that I've probably done, from when I was a fitness trainer, I've probably done six figures revenue from a fitness coach. Then I became a life coach. Hated that because I attracted people with life problems. So I became a performance coach. So I want to work with high performers. But I've not crossed that bridge to seven figures yet because I'm not learning from people, or I haven't been learning from people that are actually making seven figures. Now we just hired a coach in our business that makes 7 and 8 figure turnover. And just in the last month, it's made all the difference. So I massively support what you're saying. And something I often say to people is, look at what you want and go find who has it. Who are the people? You've already touched on a couple. For people that are watching this inspired by you, or that go on to follow you on YouTube or Instagram and inspired by you, share with them. Who are, how do you say this? Who are your who's?
So people who I absorb a lot of their content, and you know this one, I binge watch religiously, is like Alex Hormozy. So he's almost who I try to model in terms of like, if you watch his stuff, like I've made so much money from just listening to his content.
I would say you're almost like a British Alex Hormozy.
Someone else said that to me actually, and that's where like, I look at what he does and I just want to try and give the same amount of value because I understand like, I take so much value from him, I'm like, fuck, this is literally like, he changed my life. I've never met him. I'm planning to go to Vegas in the summer and I'm going to stalk him, but that's another thing. And I'll get a photo and I'll send it to you. But
then I'll have to go.
Yeah. And that's the reality. And for me, like, I get a huge amount of joy and fulfillment and happiness as I do from seeing people change their lives in terms of their body. Like, we work with a lot of executive CEOs who like completely transform their lives from being respectfully fat, having like man boobs, yeah, and that sort of stuff, to being in like great shape and actually being confident in who they are and in their own skin. But then there's the thing of like changing someone's actual whole family's life by providing wealth to that family, by helping the father of that family. Like, a guy comes to mind, Ian from Canada. He was making like a couple of grand a month online coaching in June last year. He's now making like 50 grand a month, quit his full-time job, like works from home with his kids. You're like, that's a very like nice feeling for me to know that I've helped someone else do that, and how that then has repercussions for the rest of his family and everyone from there. Another guy yesterday said to me, he went from making like a couple of grand a month to like 25, 30. Like, he can go out for lunch with his family.
Doing what?
Online fitness coaching. And then he can now go out for lunch, pay for all his family, it doesn't matter. Like, his mum's washing machine broken, he can pay for it, doesn't care. And he's like, that for me is like the most important thing, is seeing the value I can add to others and then the knock-on effects from that. Because like, the energy you give out, you get back, right? So you help other people will help you. And it's, I've had a lot of help from other people, so I feel it's my duty to help others. And respectful that I'm from the UK, but a British mentality is like this. Yeah. They don't want to share information and help other people, which is short-sighted. So to give an example, in...
And they don't want to be helped.
No. They don't
inspire me.
Yeah, or don't ask.
Yeah, like, or don't ask. Yeah.
If someone asked for help, I would always help them. And I will directly ask people, I was like, I don't, do you have someone who'd be a good guest on my podcast? Or like, but I'll message other people, like, is there anything I can help you with? Mm. Like, if someone's helped me, like, Matt helped me some stuff.
That's
recently.
So Dubai. It's so it's UAE, like, of you.
Yeah, because it's like give and take, right? And you don't know, you're one conversation away from changing your life, or one introduction away from changing your life. And again, it's that who thing. If you get connected to the right who, that can then open more and more doors.
I've asked Matt before, out of everything that you've done in your life, what's the top thing that's brought you the success you have? He said within a split second, he said networking. He's like, I know people don't want to do it, but he goes, I would not be where I am if I don't network the way I network. He's like, constantly be willing to meet new people, because right in front of you, there might seem like there's nothing there, there's no connection there, never mind a sale of some kind. But he goes, you never know where that might lead to 10 years from now.
Or when you need, they need you, or you need them.
Yeah, absolutely. So I believe in just, yeah, connecting with people all the time. And it's been a pleasure to connect with you. And I'm sure that I'm going to learn a lot from you. Something that I'd love to know your thoughts on is, for both our clients, or your audience and my audience, a lot of people say that fitness is not important. Well, no, they say it, they believe it. And it frustrates the shit out of me when I see a business person, 35, 45, 55, with a belly, or smoking or drinking every day, shoulders down. I don't sell fitness, but I sell high performance. And you can't be a high performer without fitness.
It's
a contradiction. From your perspective and with your presence, for those that are watching or listening to this on audio, Charlie's an absolute beast. What is your view on that? And not some fluffy view. Like, what's your honest truth around people that say fitness isn't important?
That they're fucking lying to themselves. Because the reality is that we can all sell ourselves a merry dance of whatever we want in life. And sometimes people, and I actually did a podcast this yesterday on my fitness channel of like why you're fat, and just calling people out directly. Because the reality is, we live in a society now where, like, this is going to come across wrong, but like, you see in the Nike shops, they've got fucking plus size models in the fucking clothing in a sportswear shop. And like, I respect those people trying to get in shape, and I would help. When I see anyone like who's really overweight, like in the gym trying to, I actually will make up an effort and go over to them and say, like, well done, because I have massive respect for that. And that's the key thing, is that it's not about wanting to look like a fucking jacked athlete or whatever, but everyone starts somewhere. And the reality is that most people aren't willing to accept they have a problem. And in society, I don't give a shit how much money people have. It's like, if you look like dog shit, I instantly won't respect you because I've like, you've got no self discipline, you can't even look after yourself. If someone came to interview with me and they were overweight and out of shape, I'd be like, next. Like, I wouldn't even interview them. Because,
and I respect you for that honesty.
Because it's like the principles of how you look after yourself. It's that saying of like, how you do one thing is how you do everything.
Yeah.
So people who are probably very overweight, I would gather that maybe if you look inside your car, there's fucking burger wrappers everywhere and shit like that. Your house is probably messy.
Or your mind.
And your mind.
Mm. Wouldn't say a dirty mind, but a messy mind.
Yeah. And the reality is, I don't know if you find the same, that if I... Cheesecake Factory's down there, I know it very well. So if I go down there and I eat a load of shit food at Cheesecake Factory, next day I can't think clearly. I've got brain fog. I feel like shit. So it's like you may well not want to look like be jacked, but if you want to run a high performance business, you're bottlenecking yourself and like becoming your own limiting belief because you're not allowing your body to run its like max capacity. You're almost like a three-legged horse trying to keep up with the prime athletes who are just going to run all over you.
I love all of your answers, and I have been trying to get across this message for almost 20 years, and I've never been able to put it like that. You're lying to yourself. That's why you say it's not important. But what about to the people that already say, but I'm already successful?
You're successful in one area of your life. You've got more than financial wealth. Like, and also, the way you have to look at fitness and business, I think we spoke this the other day, is that the saying I like is that fitness isn't a finite game, business isn't a finite game, it's an infinite game, it continues. Like, the reality is why people die from old age, everyone listening to this will, I'm sure, will want to live for a long time, is people die from old age because they are weak, they fall over, they break their hip, they die from a complication in hospital. Reality is, if you keep yourself very strong and fit, running marathons, kickboxing, lifting weights, whatever it might be, you're not going to fall over and die from old age.
Yeah.
So you'll live a lot longer. And the goal of the game of life is to stay in the game. So why would you not do what your body's designed to do and look after it correctly? Because you've only got one body and vehicle for life. And the reality is, when you're on your deathbed and you're about to die, like, reality is you're probably like, I probably fucked this up a bit. I should have, when I listened to that podcast with Charlie and JP, I probably should have listened to
it. I should have gone to the gym after, yeah. Speaking of game, I'm sure you know this quote. People don't stop playing because they get old. They get old because they stop playing.
100%.
Like, I absolutely love that. I love my mother dearly. But to see my mother at 66 getting older at an accelerated rate because she doesn't do one thing in her life, exercise, it breaks my heart. But everyone does what they do for whatever reason. You know, you can't force yourself onto someone else like you wouldn't force yourself onto your viewers or your followers. To people that think, oh, it's too late, I'm just old, what would you say?
If I'm being honest, you might as well just fucking die now, because the reality is, like, you're giving up. Like, why would you... You're only too old if you believe you're too old. Mm. And, like, we've worked with people who are 50, 60, like, complete... I think the guy was 72, like, completely transformed the way they look and feel. And the reality is... It's your perception of your age is your actual age. So if you feel like you're stronger than younger than you actually are, you will be. But most people like almost put themselves down before it's their time to do that. Mm. And I think, like, even you mentioned your parents. So my parents are similar situation. Actually, my whole family to a degree, they all drink, they all smoke. I'm like the black sheep in some respect.
Yeah.
You work too much, you work out too much and all this stuff. And like, I love them all dearly, but I'm the different one. And I see the same thing in terms of them aging very quickly. And it's like, that for me is almost a prime example of why I want to spread this message and be very frank in terms of when people ask me questions like this. And I remember, actually, this is a good story. I remember sitting in business class flying somewhere, I can't remember where it was, chatting to this dude, he was really cool, and his job was making luxury yachts. I was like, you're definitely someone to talk to.
Yes.
And he said to me, he's like, you obviously work in fitness. And I was like, yeah, this is what I do. And he's like, I really just can't be asked. I was like, tell me one thing that will make me to do it. And he told me he had a daughter, and I was like,
take me one thing that
tell me one thing that will motivate me to do it.
Got you.
And he told me about his family and stuff, and he had a daughter, and I was like, would you like to live to see your daughter get married?
Powerful.
Because at this moment in time, you're probably not going to make it, because he was quite overweight. And when you start to frame things like that, like, anyone here has got kids, got grandkids, you're not even doing it for you. Your job is to show up as the greatest version of you and also be around a long time so that you can look after your family and be there present for them. So the reality is people saying they're fucking lying to themselves, they're also being selfish, because you not looking after yourself correctly, you're going to mean you're not going to be able to turn up as your best person every day. Your mindset's probably not going to be as good as it can be. Kids and people around you are going to pick up the bad habits.
Your energy will be not optimized.
And then you're also not going to live as long as you could.
Yeah.
What would another 10, 20 years with your kids mean to you?
Dude, talking to you just makes me want to do like 20 videos after this and just talk to people about these truths, because you don't hear it enough. You don't hear it enough. And I'm so glad that I've brought you onto this podcast to share it. And even I'm going to be inspired to share more simple but powerful truths in a way that it's almost a poke in the ribs, some of the things that you're saying. If you're not going to prioritize your health and your fitness when you're old and just let yourself get old, you might as well just die now. I mean, that is like, that needs to be clipped out in a Gary Vee style TikTok video.
And one thing I think is an interesting, even when it comes to relationships, and I said this to my new partner and it went as well as you'd expect. I was like, reality, you're number three in this relationship.
Reality?
The reality of like the dynamics, you're going to be number three. So number one is me, my health, my body.
Yeah.
Number two is my business and livelihood of what I do, because without that, then the merry-go-round doesn't continue. And then you're number third.
So here's something interesting. I totally agree with that. And I've told all of my relationships, I'm sorry, and sometimes it's not gone down well, that you will never be my number one, because I need to be number one to give you the best. Mm. And for me, looking at values, my family has not even been in my top three values ever. Why? Because if I just put all my attention on my family, it might mean I might compromise on my health, my fitness, my business, my social life, my aspirational spiritual goals. But when you take care of things like your spiritual goals, like what's going to make me happy, fulfilled, make me feel like I'm living a mission, living in a mission, fulfilling a vision, your family will just be looked after. So yeah, I totally get that. And I think that moving into business, I think that money, number one, is one of the most spiritual things in the world, because you can serve others with it, and that you can never have enough money.
It's funny you just said that, because I watched a video of a guy here, Iman Ghazi, you might have heard of him.
No.
He's like 23 years old, worth like 100 million, it's like retarded. You feel successful until you see someone 10
he's
years
old. How old?
23, yes, it's another story.
Crypto?
No, some of it, yeah. But he owns like software companies, he's super smart, so he deserves what
Emirati?
He's got. No, he's Russian, British.
Oh, right.
But he's been opening schools in Nepal, and I was watching a YouTube video of him, and I was like, fuck, I was like, that would be something I'd really like to be able to make enough money to have an impact on that many people, to directly be like, I don't know, in Africa or wherever, to help. That would be something for me. I was like, that's a goal for me in my lifetime, something I would like to do. I've never said this before, but I've definitely thought about it before, and I watched that and I was like, that would probably make me feel full, if that makes sense.
Well, it's very inspiring, man. And it's things like that, or buying your mother a house or a car or something. That for me is what always drives me into action in business, always. I've never been motivated by money. I love spending it. I love a luxury lifestyle. I don't feel like I need it. If I'm, I live in Thailand, I live in flip-flops, t-shirt and a vest, and I wear the same shit every day. I wear these whites most of the time because it's just super comfortable. But what really drives me into in business is what I can do for others, to make a donation to a charity, etc. And a lot of people don't make money because they believe it's evil. They believe that, you said this, you said something similar. Well, it wasn't more money, more problems. Different levels, different devils.
Yeah, different levels, different devils.
Yeah, and they're scared to make more money. They think that, oh, it's going to make me a bad person, or life's going to be more difficult. But when you look at it like that, imagine going on holiday to Nepal, to everyone listening and watching. Imagine seeing children at your feet, asking you for money in the most politest way, with no clothes, or not no clothes, little clothes and no shoes. And then speaking to some of the locals, and you ask them, why are they hanging about in the streets? And they say, oh, because they don't have a school to go to. And imagine you being able to say, okay, find me someone on the council here and let's build a school. How is that a bad thing? And if you can align your goals, your financial goals, to service and helping others, I think it'll give everyone such a hunger to make more. You mentioned, you touched on it before, but what is your number one motivator for making money? And I asked Matt the same question, and this was his answer: I wasn't born to be poor. And then he expanded on that and he said, I have a fear of being poor. And I didn't think he would say that, but everyone has different reasons or different whys for making money. What's yours?
Very similar to his is fear of failure.
Yeah.
Like, I don't wanna fail. And my biggest regret is not becoming who I could be. And an interesting thing is that I felt that when I was 21, 22, 23, I felt like I failed in life because I didn't go to university. I saw friends coming out, like the system of coming out of university, getting jobs, making 40 grand a year at the time. I was like, ooh. I was like, where's me, I've ruined my life. And I then suddenly realized when I got 26, 27, that I could do my own thing. And I was like, fuck, I can actually be somebody and be who I want to be,
create my life.
And one of the things that actually was holding me back a lot with that was other people's opinions. So a couple of things with that, like, I remember obviously fitness is a very top photos and stuff like that. I remember people in my gym being like, who the fuck does he think he is posting photos like this on the internet, and he's got a wife, blah 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 blah. And then I remember, like, my mum giving me shit about wearing pink swimming shorts and all this sort of people giving me shit about bleaching my hair and, like, or shaving your chest or whatever it might be.
You look like you're from Essex, yeah, not Surrey.
And then the reality is, if I'd listened to those people,
yeah,
none of that would happen. I wouldn't be able to help, I wouldn't have done what I've done and help people all over the world. And one of the things that definitely fueled my fire throughout that period of time was like, fuck you, like, watch me. Like, and like, I'm really big into Tim Grover's books, and Relentless, who talks about using your dark side. And that's definitely the big thing that I lean into sometimes for motivation is, like, when things get hard, I think about, okay, where can I pull resources and, like, energy to really, like, drive me forwards? And different people are motivated by different things. I did some work with psychologists on this, and I'm very heavily motivated by the stick rather than by the carrot.
Yeah.
And that's worked very well for me up until a certain point, but I've had to learn to control that rather than it becoming destructive to a certain point.
And also not put yourself under too much stress, because you thrive under stress or pressure.
You get to the point where I went to the Maldives 3-4 weeks ago. I was so burnt out, I didn't even realise. And I got there, I was just like, poof. I just wanted to sleep. I actually got sick when I first got there, I think, because I was probably so burnt out.
Yeah.
And I just read books for like 5 days, didn't have access to a phone. It was amazing. I feel like I came back as a new person. So for anyone who's in that situation, you probably feel you're a bit stressed. Number one issue of that, in my opinion, is technology, social media, and external distractions. Because, like, particularly in social media, is like Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, or like email, WhatsApp, Slack, fucking payments, whatever. You're like, your brain's overly stimulated at the time. So, like, we live in a fast-paced world. Sometimes you need to go slow to go fast, and actually, like, go back down to second gear to be able to go back up again.
Great answer. And touching on or talking about why, how important, let me start again. I follow you now in both fitness and business. Based on my observation, you have great success in fitness and business. How important is a why for everyone watching and listening in being successful in fitness and business?
Without a why, when the expression is like rubber meets the road, you're just not going to be there. Yeah. Like, when you're not going to get up in the morning when you should do, you're not going to do the extra rep in the gym when you should do, you're not going to cheat in your diet when you should do. And that's why, like, for me, I'm a really big believer in people putting pressure on themselves. So from a fitness example, one of the things we do with a lot of clients is we push them to try and do things like photo shoots, or because there's nothing more uncomfortable when you know in 12 weeks' time someone's going to be taking a photo of you with the top off.
Yeah, this is what I was referring to before, stretch goals.
Yeah, because you're like, well, and for me, the same thing in terms of competing. It's like, I'm not going to eat that cake because I'm going to stand on stage in pants in front of a load of people. So I'm going to make sure that I'm not going to be fat. And that's where you need to have pressure on yourselves. And we live in a very soft society now where the word pressure is, I think, demonized. But the expression pressure makes diamonds is something I very much believe in, because as my business has escalated, is one word to use, your ability to tolerate stress has to increase because you've got more people, more problems, more money, more problems, whatever. You have to be able to handle that. And I think the reality is that too many people are expecting an easy ride. And one of the things that I've definitely come to accept and to learn is that you're waiting for the next iceberg to float in front of you because you're always going to have problems in life.
Yeah, and anticipating.
Yeah, and as soon as you accept that that's the reality, it's that's in a weird, sick, twisted way, I'm looking forward to the next challenge because for me, it's like a puzzle to try and like fix and work out and then how, what can I learn from this? And I'm a big believer in when something bad or less positive happens, there's an opportunity to learn from it. And that's one of the things that's really helped me reframe a lot of shit situations, whether it's been getting divorced, whether it's been, I've had like payment gateways shut down, lost like 20, 30 grand a month, like my Instagram account got disabled, like all sorts of stuff.
Why did it get disabled?
We had someone log in on a, without a VPN on, who was an editor from Egypt who was supposed to log in. And this is a really good story. So in terms of, you can't have the highs in life without the lows, right? This was, I think, January the 6th last year. I got married, oh, not married, or divorced on the Wednesday.
married to yourself.
Yeah, that's one way to put it. Decided to leave my partner, who I cared about very much. So that was on the Wednesday. Thursday, I had to go to my house, clear all my personal possessions, basically give away everything I owned. The Friday before, Friday afterwards, so 3 days later, I was sitting feeling very sorry for myself in the Kingston Doubletree Hotel. 5 minutes before doing a big, speaking on a big podcast with someone, my Instagram account gets disabled. I was like, for fuck's sake. I was like, and I remember this expression like infinitely, and it's not about waiting for the storm to pass, it's about learning to dance in the rain. And I was just like, for fuck's sake. And I was like, just remember, this is going to be a lesson that you'll learn for the rest of your life in terms of how you can overcome challenges. Because at the time, like, it was my personal life was fucking imploding. Business started imploding. And I was like, this is going to be fun. Long story short, I did get my Instagram account back 3 weeks later, which was a big source of revenue for me.
Wow, yeah.
But it was a big life lesson learned, and it also humbled me a lot. And it was probably a lesson I needed because I was probably maybe getting a, not big for my boots, but a bit like too much of an ego. And now that's why I'm very much into helping people, because you never know when you need someone else's help or the rug gets pulled from under you. Like, that could happen to anyone at any moment. So the more people you help, the more people can help you.
And it taught you resilience. And you can't teach people what you don't have or what you've not had. So it allowed you to show other people how to be more resilient, whether it's in fitness, in business. And I think that resilience is probably one of the most important things in being successful, in my opinion.
Agreed.
Even at my level. Because one, you can achieve success. Two, you can try and sustain it when everything is going good. But to use that same quote that I used yesterday, you know what I want to say, right? When Mike Tyson said, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face, you're going to get punched in the face. And when we look at, let's go back to fitness for a bit. Some people have goals. They go to a trainer, they start getting ripped or they start getting in shape, and then everything's going really well. They go to the gym, go to the gym, go to the gym. And then you see them 3 months later for the first time and they're overweight, back to their old habits because life got in the way. Their relationships got in the way. Oh, the work project got in the way. What do you think allows people or stops people from thriving under pressure? So what allows people to thrive under pressure and what stops them from thriving under pressure?
They give themselves an excuse and an easy out. So like, to give an example, that I was actually, it was fucking terrible timing. I was speaking at three events that January where I was getting divorced and my Instagram account disabled. So I was like,
there was a lot going on for you there.
Yeah, I was like a barrel of laughs, like speaking at three events at the same time. So I had to, I was basically living in a hotel on my own for like 10, 12 days, and it was super depressing. You know, when like England's like grey and rainy in January, it's like, this is wonderful. And at that time, I remember going to work out and I was like, I'd fucking rather do anything else. But I still went and did it. And the moral of the story for everyone listening to this is the biggest superpower in life is actually doing what you're supposed to do when you don't really want to do it. Because everyone wants to be motivated all the time. I'm not motivated all the time. I couldn't really be asked to work out this morning, but I still went and did it. Because the reality of what sees you get results with everything in life is being disciplined. So if you're successful in your business, you have to be disciplined to do that. Yep. If you're successful with fitness, you have to be disciplined to do that, because you're not always going to be motivated to do everything. It's like Cristiano Ronaldo has won everything in sight in football. He probably can't be asked to go and train sometimes, but he'll go. He'll be there. Same with Michael Jordan. He's going to turn up. Kobe Bryant turn up, and it's that for me is sometimes why I really like to look at athletes at that level, where they've been doing it for such a long period of time, is they've got nothing to prove, yet they're the first person there in training. And a good example is actually, I was at a fitness business event here last October, and I had the biggest fitness event, probably business in the room, and I was the one at the front sitting taking notes. And a couple of people said to me afterwards, like, why are you taking notes at the front? I was like, there's always more to learn from other people. Whereas so many people are so close-minded, think they know it all. And the reality is, like, the gap from where you are right now to where you want to be is knowledge. So if you can surround yourself with the right people, listen to the right podcasts, get the right coach, you will get to where you want to be. And it's just a game of how quickly can you get that knowledge and then implement it.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say awareness is the first step to changing anything, but you have to take action with that awareness. Otherwise, you're just an intelligent idiot.
And you get those people who are like...
know-it-alls.
Yeah, well, not even that kind of thing. The word is they're like, they get off and go into like masterminds and seminars, but they never do anything.
Yeah.
So they go to 1,000 seminars a year, but they read 1,000,000 books, but they've done nothing. It's like...
Yeah, and they're like 3 years later, like, oh, I didn't see you at this event. Where were you? Like, I'm cracking on.
Yeah.
Taking what I learned from the event.
And I have a funny story of people, like, I joined business masterminds 4 or 5 years ago, and then I've like 10x of those people do now, and they come to me and like, what do you do different? I was like, I just turned up and did it every day. Yeah. Like,
do you know,
it worked.
Do you know Daniel Priestley?
Yeah.
So Daniel Priestley is a really good friend of mine. He supported me in my recovery through my accident and did like loads of videos and like telling people to like send me videos and support, etc. And I forgot what I was going to say now. Damn, I forgot what I was going to say about Daniel Priestley. What were we talking about? I just regressed there, to be completely honest. I said the word accident and I completely went back to my accident and what he was doing for me in hospital. What were we talking about? What was the last thing you said?
In terms of... Put me on the spot now.
Oh, it doesn't matter. Okay. I fucked up. Let's move on. Okay, so Daniel Priestley, anyway, is a really good friend of mine. He is, in my opinion, one of the best experts when it comes to building your business.
That was it. I'd been on business groups with before, but 4 or 5 years later, they were coming to me for lessons. Like, what have you done?
Yeah.
Like, what do you do different?
Thank you, brother. Thank you so much. I need to drink more water. Daniel said to me, you are one of the easiest people to coach. And I was like, why? I remember where we were, Lombard Street, Bank Station in Pret-a-Manger, actually sitting outside Pret-a-Manger. And I said, why? He said, because you just do what we talk about. So we talk about something, you go and do it. It's not more complicated than that. And most people want to talk about it without walking about it. You know, they're willing to show up to the session but not do the work. And actually, I'm about to fire a client right now. A private executive level, director of a business, because this guy just won't do the work. He expects me to wave a magic wand over his life. Do you encounter people like that in your business? And what kind of language do you use to help them confront their own lack of personal responsibility?
Very abrupt and direct language, because if I'm honest, that's the only thing that responds. And I, quite frankly, in terms of like initial consultation calls, in terms of us helping people with their businesses, I had two of these on Sunday and Monday. And it's almost people are in a state of fucking delusion in terms of, here's my goal of what I want to achieve, but yeah, I want to go and do this thing. I'm like, well, this is what you want, so why are you doing this? And the reality is that most people don't really have, they don't actually sit the time to think. The most important thing anyone can do is think. So it's like, okay, what is I want in life, and how am I going to get there? Most people just are like sheep and follow each other around and
I hope for the best.
Yeah, and for me it's like I just want to take the most efficient process from A to B where I am right now, and that's what a good coaching experience is, just to like bend time and shorten that gap between A to B. And the reality of where most people are is like they say they want to get to B, but their actions are taking them to C or somewhere else.
Yeah.
And that's where people need a really abrupt conversation, in my opinion, to really call them out on their own crap, because a lot of people are used to just being sugar-coated with things. And even I think it comes from the schooling now and like the work, like the conventional workplace, you can't say anything to anyone. So I think the only way to really get that is to be very direct and frank and honest. And if people don't like it, then more for them. But if
go somewhere else.
Yeah, if it's the honest truth, it's the honest truth. And it's the same thing we say to clients when it comes to a fitness point of view, is like, we have a money back guarantee because it's physically impossible, we can't help you. It will only not work if you don't do the work, because we're not putting someone on the moon. Like, this is a pretty easy process to achieve.
Follow the process, rinse, repeat.
And once you've done the process, we work with over 10,000 clients. I know it works, so it's like...
And I've seen some of your transformations, man. I mean, it's not like, you know, from 30% to 20% body fat, some of them are like professional athletes.
Yeah, and it's not... And when you take that into account, that's when you're like... When I say to people, it's like, okay, we've worked with 10,000 people, we've been in Forbes, Men's Health, wherever else. The problem isn't us, it's actually you. Because the reality is, you don't believe you can do it, and you're also not willing to stick to it. Mm. And that's where this is a you issue rather than an us issue, and you need to really just sit down and think, do I really actually want this, and is my why strong enough? Because if your why is strong enough, it will be. And if you look at most people's why, when I speak to people a lot of the time, the first thing I try and find out is about, have you got a partner? Have you got kids? Because if you're a man, they're going to be the people you're doing everything for. Mm. So you're grinding, working really hard to make money so you can send your kids to private school, so you can go on nice holidays to the Dubai, so your wife doesn't have to work, or you can buy her a nice car or whatever it might
be. Your kid a first car.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, right? And or you want to be in great shape so you set a good example for your kids, or so your kids respect you, or so your wife's attracted to you. So ultimately it comes back to who's the most important people in your life. And when you start to think like that, you then can understand that you not being who you could be, you're actually letting them down, who are the most important people in your life.
And once again, it's being incredibly selfish. Mm. Dude, I've loved this conversation so much. I could be extremely selfish and sit here for another 2 hours with you easily. But we'll wrap this conversation up. I want to ask you a couple of questions just for like rapid fire answers. Someone asked me this in a podcast, and I think it was absolutely brilliant, the second part. The first part is, pick an age when you were younger, in your mind, when you were a kid.
How old? Like when you're like a kid, sub-18?
When you're, sub-15.
Okay.
Okay. What would that version of you be happy about today? That or if they could see you today?
That I'm not fat. I was a fat kid when I was younger. And that's a skeleton in my closet.
Okay. And now, yeah, talking about skeletons or going to the dark side, this question I've never been asked before and it's brilliant. What would they be sad about?
I don't have children, I think.
That's an honest answer. Dude, you're still young.
Oh, yeah, I've got time. I've got time. Yeah, 33, yeah, so I've got time.
Yeah, but that tells you about your values, right? Final question. In one word, even if you don't understand it, just guess. What do the words spiritual fitness mean to you?
Being physically and mentally in harmony and your body running like clockwork, from physical strength, aerobic fitness, digestion, everything just working in like quote unquote homeostasis where it's balanced.
So the one word is harmony.
Yeah.
I totally agree. Dude, it's been an absolute
pleasure.
Thank
you, appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Make sure you follow Charlie Johnson Fitness and the 7-figure scaling system, both YouTube channels. Follow Charlie Johnson on Instagram. He's got a killer profile, great information, education, inspiration, and he's got 500,000 followers. So clearly he's doing something right. If you're in fitness, if you're in coaching, follow him for business as well as everyone else for general fitness. And muscle growth tips, fat loss, sleep, nutrition. The guy does it all. And he is absolutely omnipresent. So once you start following him, you're just going to see him everywhere. I love what Grant Cardone says. He says, if people unsubscribe, they're not going to buy anyway.
It's true. It's buy or die.
Yeah, yeah, buy or die. Dude, it's such a pleasure, man.
Awesome.
And pleasure to
much.
Know you. Thanks for coming over again.
No, I appreciate it.
Thanks for being on the podcast.
Thank you.